Jesus' house, in pursuit of God, discovering purpose, maximizing potential, impacting lives. This message is being brought to you from Jesus' House, London. God bless you.
Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this blessed opportunity to be alive and present as your hands and your feet in the locations where you have placed us on this Palm Sunday. Father God, we know that you have a plan for the nation. We know that your burden is for the people of this nation. Father, we ask, O Lord God, that you would enable us. Of our own selves, we are inadequate and we can do nothing. But Lord God, with your breath upon us, with your power on the inside of us, we can do much. Lord, we pray for your enablement, your enabling spirit to come on each and every single one of us, O Lord God, so that we can represent you aright. So that we can, O Lord God, bring about what it is that you have in mind, that the people, O Lord God, from every tribe, tongue, and nation, Father, will be before your throne for eternity. And God's people at Jesus' house said, amen, amen, amen. So, you know, today as we gather on this blessed Palm Sunday, remembering, being reminded of that triumphant entry into Jerusalem, it was a moment filled with joy and celebration as the people laid down their palm branches and their cloaks before him, shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the people were shouting Hosanna because they had an expectation. Hosanna means save us, Lord. Lord, save us. How many people today are here and are thinking, I need saving. My town, my city, my village needs saving. My business needs saving. The environment around us needs saving. And so they were full of joy and they were full of expectation because riding into Jerusalem was someone who they thought was about to seize the reins of government. Now, of course, they must have been slightly confused because their expectations also were telling them that he was meant to be riding into Jerusalem on a war horse. But here he was riding in on a donkey. And when kings ride in on donkeys, it has a connotation. It is sending a message of peace. But what these guys wanted was they were looking for a warlord who will come in, take over the government, chase out the Romans, and get everything to be right. They were already convinced that he was from God. They had seen miracles that he had been doing. The last 1 week leading up to that particular Palm Sunday was a very busy week. They're coming in from Jericho. They're stopping all over the place. And along the way, there's parables being told. There's miracles being done. Blind Bartimaeus was along the way. He heard the commotion as it was all coming through. He had shouted. He had been healed. He had gotten his sight. And he had walked along with them. And so you could see the crescendo building up, the momentum building up to a crescendo. And there was an expectation that something is going to happen when they get in to Jerusalem. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You see, what the people did not understand, and I dare say that sometimes we ourselves do not fully understand even today, is that this jubilant procession was much more than a moment of acclaim. It was a display of humility. He did not come with might and power and an army to conquer with force. Jesus came to achieve the overthrow, but through serving with love. And the guys didn't get it. And sometimes today, we still do not get it. The nation today is in a messy place. The nations of the world is in a messy place. There's wars right here on our doorstep in Europe with stuff going on in Ukraine and Russia, in the Middle East with the battle between Israel and Hamas over Gaza. There are many other wars going on that you're not even aware about because they're not even hitting the headline in Myanmar, which used to be Burma, in across the Sahel, extremist jihadist insurgencies that are warring right across the Sahel, even into the northern parts of Nigeria, and then morphing into other things, seeking to destabilize the nation. Some places are at war, and they themselves do not know that they are at war. But either way, there is a lack of peace all over the place. Yet Jesus came to bring peace. He wasn't coming on a war horse. He was coming on a donkey. You know, I said right here in the UK, there are all kinds of ideologies and supposedly artistic changes that are threatening to turn our nation around. Some would say threatening to drag the nation down. Sometimes it's as simple as the color of the national jersey and attempts to change the color of the St. George's Cross. Sometimes it's gender redefinition or reassignments. Sometimes it's taking out scriptural references out of logos. And nobody is going to argue with a private company if they choose to change the logo of their brand. You refresh brands and you move things on. I think it was Tate and Lyle, and nothing particular about any particular company, that took out the scriptural reference in their logo on their honey products. The founder, Scottish gentleman Abraham Lyle, had used the scriptural reference from the story of Samson in the Bible, where he said, out of the carcass, the lion that was killed, comes out sweetness. And they had this image of the lion, a dead lion with the bees around it. And that's been their logo since 18-something. There is a change, a brand refresh, because the idea was that it needed to be more modern. And there's a danger in a lot of some of the what is being referred to as more modern, especially where it seeks to tamper with ancient landmarks. Sometimes you find that it is the just taking the scriptures out of the public spaces that is the things that are going on over there. And the last one to mention, which relates to this Easter season that we're in, and for people like me who are fans of hot cross buns, you would have been flabbergasted to hear that I think it was one of the retailers decided to remove the cross from the hot cross bun and replace it with a tick. Now, some of these things are seem just ordinary and normal, but some other people would look at that and say there's a gradual wearing down of and an attempt to remove certain of the things that necessarily relate to the church, to Christianity, to the faith. But either way, whatever the intention is, our job is not necessarily to go around and start facing up to each one of what people are trying to do. We need to become the people that God intended us to be. Today, the world needs a savior to humbly usher in peace and a renewal. We will call it a revival. Pastor Agu referred to it last week as a revival. You know, in the book of Mark chapter 10, actually, before I go to Mark chapter 10, I was looking for something on Google this morning, and I went into it, you know, I'm getting ready at the same time. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to wear something that's a bit green because today is Palm Sunday. I'm all geared up for it. And then at the same time, I want to go check the thing on Google. And you know, when you go onto Google, every so often, they would change their logo. And they have these things that they call a doodle. And you know, whether it's some festival or celebration or the other, or some famous person or personality, they would get the logo to reflect that. So, I don't know whether, like me, you are disappointed, because I got there and there was the bog standard general Google page. And I'm like, what's going on over here? You know, why is there not palm fronds and Palm Sunday? And on the one hand, my mind was first of all thinking about the fact that, oh no, this is wrong and this is a travesty. But I do think that some of it is also down to us not necessarily taking our place. Because talking about taking our place and being influencers of change, I found out as I dug a little bit deeper that you can actually design the Google logo and send it in. So, anyone in here who's a graphic designer? Anyone at the Hub who's a graphic designer? You know, that's how we begin to influence and make changes, where we dig in and we find out. And the things that are important to us, that we begin to move in and those changes. Jesus did not come on a war horse. He came on a donkey. And as his followers, there are things to learn from that. You know, I was thinking, you know, sometimes you're coming into church and you see Uber dropping people at the gates of church, or picking people up after church. And isn't it interesting how Uber has become all of our drivers right now? And to think about the fact that 15 years ago this March is when Uber just started. So prior to that, Uber did not even exist. And it made me think about what are some of the other roles that are popular today. Cloud architect 15 years ago, we wouldn't know what they were named as a role that existed back then, is the role of an influencer. Whether it's a social media influencer or influencer in any other way. But just thinking about going into Mark 10, this morning I want us to see Jesus in his role as the great and the ultimate influencer. Not influencing with force, not influencing with might and with power, a humble influencer, a pre-incarnate influencer. That's the, you know, the rich young man had opted to, he should go and sell all of his things and come and follow him. And Jesus makes a profound statement in the moment after this man goes away in sadness about the challenge of loving possessions at the expense of giving them up for others. We really have to ask ourselves the question this Palm Sunday, all the time, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus have us do. So, just bear with me. I'm just going to quickly go into Mark 10, and I'm going to Jesus looked around to his disciples and he said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." This amazed them, but Jesus said again, "Dear children, it is very hard to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And I imagine this morning, like the disciples back then, you and I will also be astounded. Then who in the world can be saved? Because I'm sure the vast majority of us are running businesses that we're expecting to thrive. And we're at jobs and we're seeking promotions and we want to be financially independent. And if we got the impression that what it means is that we have to give up all of those things, we will be as sad as that rich young man. But then Jesus says this very, very important thing in verse 7 of Mark 10. It says, Jesus looked at them intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God." Everything is possible with God. Humanly speaking, it is not possible. And so this doesn't just apply to the fact that we want to be able to make wealth and use it for the kingdom, but it also very much applies to our desire to see the nation come back to God. Humanly speaking, it may look difficult, it may look impossible. Humanly speaking, it may look challenging. Humanly speaking, you may think that Jesus' entry into Jerusalem or his entry into our nation this Sunday morning is just celebrating a festival. But what Jesus is saying to us in that scripture, brothers and sisters, is that with God, everything is possible. We need to break out of our limitations. We need to break out of the things that constrain us, because God is not bound by economic realities. He is not bound by geographical boundaries. We need to understand that God is not contained by the furthest extents of human reasoning and brain power. So the challenge that we have when we do not really connect in, the same challenge that that young man had that day when he went to see Jesus, is that he had locked it all. He had reasoned it through by himself. As far as he was concerned, "I've done everything they've said in the law, I've done it." So this idea that I now have to go and sell everything, he, using the normal brain power, had worked out that that is going to be calamity for him. Our God is not constrained by scientific laws. He is not restricted by physical mass. He's not restricted or constrained by the weight of bodies. We are the ones who are limited, and that's why this morning, church, it is so important that for the transformation that Jesus Christ came to bring that Palm Sunday, we get outside of ourselves and our limitations and we key in to God. Our God is not impeded by time and space. He is not obstructed, certainly, by the geopolitics of the nation and the dynamics thereof. So our challenge this Palm Sunday is to come out of ourselves and get into God. So because with God, everything is possible. You know, as we go into this week ahead, it's a key message that we want to lock into. Because as we pray through it, God turns and changes things around. The truth of the matter is, even if we look back, we would see in history how things that we thought were impossible, how something happened and God changed it. We just need to get onto God's wavelength. So even back then, and the same for us today, it's a busy week ahead. For Jesus, it was a busy week ahead. The week after that Palm Sunday, there was all sorts of other things going on. There was parables being told, miracles being done, people being chased out of the synagogue. There was preparations going on for Passover. There was the Passover meal itself. For us today, there is shopping that we need to do before Easter. There's all sorts of things that are going on. But our challenge is to quieten down all of those things and connect in with the great influencer, the ultimate influencer. You know, if you ever wanted to understand how much Jesus is the influencer, and that's why I called him the pre-incarnate influencer. Before people knew about influencers, he was already the influencer. So, you know, in Mark 11, 8 and 9, they said the people were amazed at his teaching. Yeah? In Mark 12, 37, the second part, the large crowd listened to him with great delight. I like this one in Luke 19, 48. But they, the religious leaders who were seeking to kill him anyway, could think of nothing because all the people hung on every word he said. All the people hung on every word he said. I dare say that if we were to use that as the benchmark, some of the people that we are even calling influencers, we would demote them from mega influencer to macro to micro, and they may even go further down below that. They were hanging on every word that Jesus said. So this morning, I want to encourage us. We've received a word for the year. And alongside that word, Pastor Agu has been talking very much around this whole idea of us rising up and taking on the Issachar anointing. Understanding the times, knowing what Israel ought to do. Understanding the times and knowing what the UK ought to do. What Europe ought to do, what Asia, Africa ought to do in this season. It's a time for us to go to our posts. So we need to quieten ourselves and key in. And there's two key things that I want us to take away from today that's going to aid us in that keying in. It's the scripture in Mark. So let me just jump back to Mark chapter 11, verse 20, reading from, let me start from 22. So reading from verse 22, please just take this slowly into your spirit this morning. Then Jesus said to me, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. This ultimate influencer is not going to lie to us, so there is power in this word. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your mind. I've got to say that I'm not there yet. I dare suspect that the vast majority of us are not there yet. But we need to get there, because that is the benchmark, that is the barometer, that is the reason why Jesus rode into Jerusalem, that is the reason why he's riding into this church, into the church, in the nation, why he's riding into our towns, cities, and villages, even right now. You must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. that those people in Harrow Town Center, in town centers around the place, will be the same people who Revelation 7:9 tells us will be standing before the throne of God and joining us in shouting, hallelujah, hallelujah, before the throne of our Father. You know, before concerning this great influencer, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, and I'm just going to turn to it really quickly because, you know, this hangs it all together. This is what pulls together everything. In fact, let me pick it up from verse 15. Bible says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realm and on the earth. He made the things we can see and the things that we cannot see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through that same Jesus who was riding into Jerusalem and is riding in today. And verse 17 says, he existed before anything else, and he holds all of creation together. The question for us this morning is, do we believe this word? It's a central principle. Do we believe it, that everything is formed together around him? He holds it all together. So this Palm Sunday, and indeed this Easter, let us get out of the cobwebs that have been limiting us because of our minds and our intellects and the limitations of what's going on or the things that we see. And let us hold on to that word. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Isn't it a privilege, church, to be called the hands and the feet of that God? Isn't it a privilege to be ambassadors of Jesus, his representatives, to be the vessels that he has poured himself into? This Easter, we receive a reawakening. We move to our posts, ready to do the Lord's bidding, ready to do that work that he has called us to. We recover our countercultural stance. You know, oftentimes we're seeking to go with the flow, and the flow is taking us against the grain of what God wants. When are we going to stand up and just really, really take a God's position? Please do not lean on the media. Don't lean on what you see. And as I close, I just really wanted to encourage us with the flakiness of the world around us. You know, as Jesus was coming down the road towards Jerusalem, I said that he had stopped along the way and healed blind Bartimaeus. Don't you find it interesting that the only way Bartimaeus knew that Jesus was coming was because there was noise and commotion all around him? He was blind. He didn't see what was going on. That's the only way he knew. There was noise, there was commotion, and that was what prompted him to ask the question, what's going on? What's going on? And they say to him, Jesus, the Nazarene, is coming down. And Bartimaeus, put yourself in his position, all he did was join in the same noise and commotion that was going by shouting, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have you asked yourself the question, why was it him that they were telling, shut up, be quiet, don't talk? All these other guys that were making noise, nobody felt that they should tell them not to make noise. Now, here is the key point around the flakiness of people. When Jesus, and thank God for Jesus, who spiritually discerned the voice of Bartimaeus and called him forward, it was those same people around him, like, get up, be of good cheer, he calleth thee. These same people. So church, don't believe the press. Don't believe the stories that you receive. They remove one logo from something. They're changing this, they're changing that. Our call this Easter is to connect in with the God who we know, the God who rode in on a donkey because he came to serve with love. And that is what's going to bring about the change. You know, Pastor Agu said as he closed out last Sunday, that 2 Chronicles 7:14, we the people of God, called by his name, we suddenly realize that we've been going the wrong way. We humble ourselves, we pray, we turn from what really has been a wicked way, and we move to the position of doing what God called us to and formed us for in the very first place. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, our God, we hear your voice this morning in our spirits. Lord, we ask for forgiveness for having gone astray and not being focused on what it is that you called us to. Hear our cry, O Lord God. Father, work in us and work through us to bring about your plans and your purposes. Help us to cooperate with you and not to flow with the grain. We pray, Lord God, that the price that Jesus paid in that period, in that first Easter, Lord God, will not be in vain. Particularly over the United Kingdom, we pray this morning, Lord God, that you will bring about a spiritual renewal, a spiritual transformation, that you will come and be Lord and Master over this nation. Bible tells us, blessed is the nation whose Lord is God, whose God is the Lord. Come and take your place in our hearts, in our homes, in our towns, in our villages, in our cities, in Jesus' name. Father, we also want to use this opportunity, Father, to pray for anyone who is under the sound of my voice this morning, who either does not have a relationship with you or who has lost their relationship with you. If that's you, my brother, my sister, this God who can transform your life and can transform your entire nation, can transform the entire world, ask for us to start off by recognizing our sins. As a congregation, we've done that concerning our call, the Great Commission. But if you do not have a personal relationship with God, if you do not have a place where you can go to call upon him, where he speaks to you, guides you and directs you, whether you're at the Hub in Greenwich, whether you're worshiping online, this morning I would like you to signify that the Spirit of God is speaking into your heart to draw a line on that past so that together we can journey into the fullness of what the Lord has for us. If that is you and you're online, there is a link that the host would have put on the chat for you to click on and indicate. If you're here at the Bays, if you're at the Greenwich Hub, just go ahead and signify that you would love to give your life to Christ. You would like to walk with the great influencer who can influence every aspect of your life. If you're just connecting with Christ for the first time and you're thinking, oh, all these guys have run ahead, the mercy of God is that he is the great leveler. We are all at the same starting point and we are journeying in together into the mercies and into the grace of God so that collectively at the end of our days we will be part of that crowd before the throne room of our Father in heaven. If you'd like to give your life to Christ, Join me in this prayer, and church, please join us as we pray for everyone who's given their life to Christ this morning. Father, we just really want to appreciate you for the sharing of your word. And Lord God, we pray with any one of my sisters, any one of my brothers who is saying, I do not already have a relationship with you. This morning, we recognize our sin, we recognize our wrongdoing, we recognize our waywardness, and we are asking, O Lord God, that you would influence change inside the life of each one of my brothers and sisters. If that's you, be asking that the Lord God right now would influence eternal change inside of your life. And Father, we now pray for the grace that the walk that kicks off from this moment, a walk with you, a walk your way towards eternal life and eternity with you, Father, will be the portion of each and every one of these, your sons and your daughters, will be all of our portion. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Jesus House, let's celebrate God for everyone who has given their life, and let us go with that charge to go with the faith of God. Amen.